5 Gospel Minutes with Tom Warren. I'm hoping that you will spend these 5 minutes with us today as we continue our study of the existence of God. In opposition to the doctrine of atheism taught by communists and others around the world today, are you aware, my friend, that at least one half of the world's population is now under the domination of the philosophy of communism, at the very core of which is the doctrine that God does not exist? For the past several times, we've been talking about some things that are the responsibility of the atheist as he sets about to establish his own case. Of course, we who are Christians and therefore who believe in the God of the Bible have the responsibility of proving our case. It is not enough for us to simply say, well, I believe in God and I think the Bible is the Word of God and I think maybe Jesus is the Son of God. We have the responsibility of proving that God is, of proving the Bible is the Word of God, of proving that Jesus is the Son of God, of proving what He requires of us to do to be born again, to be saved. But this same sort of responsibility rests upon the atheist. It is not enough for him to say, I know that God does not exist, and go about to teach our children that such is the case, and to destroy their faith in God. But he has a responsibility to seek to prove his case. And so we have been showing that he has a responsibility of proving it by the presentation of a sound argument, and in short, to show that he must know what he cannot know. And if a person has a responsibility of showing that he knows what absolutely is impossible for him to know, of course it's clear that his case has fallen. To know that God does not exist, for instance, the atheist must first know that order and adjustment in such things as the human body itself and the environment in which it lives do not imply design, and thus the intelligent, powerful, benevolent designer behind all of this, who is God. Of course, the atheist knows that spacecraft, which first carry men to the moon and back, and second carry instruments to a soft landing on Mars after a journey of months, and send back messages to Earth, exhibit such order and adjustment as to imply, that is to make clear, that they must conclude, if they're to be intelligent and rational, that there was intelligence and ability and power behind the production of those spacecraft that will carry men and instruments to these other planets than Earth. In the next place, in order to know that God does not exist, the atheist must first know that beings which have consciousness originated from that which not only had no consciousness, but also had no life. Since the atheist claims that knowledge comes only from that which had no consciousness, logically he should admit that his case for atheism falls. He does not know that God does not exist. In the next place, in order to know that God does not exist, the atheist must first know that beings which possess reproductive systems as complex as that possessed by human beings originated by blind, non-intelligent, non-purposive physical forces from non-living things possessing no such system. In other words, the atheist has to say that men and women with their complex reproductive systems owe their ultimate origin to nothing more than non-living rocks and dirt. Surely no one with rational intelligence could accept such a conclusion. Since the atheist claims to know that man can come to knowledge only by empirical experience or observation, and since he has never experienced a living being with a complex reproductive system coming from that which was non-living and did not possess such a system, then he cannot know that God does not exist. In the next place, in order to know that God does not exist, the atheist must first know that human beings now living have evolved from lower or non-human beings. But his entire case fails because he cannot know this. It is obvious that a strong disjunction is involved here. Either, first, atheism is true, which entails the view that human beings owe their origin to evolution from lower or non-human forms of life, and in fact, ultimately back to non-living rocks and dirt, by the non-intelligent, non-purposive forces of purely physical nature, or, secondly, theism is true, which entails that human beings owe their origin to the miraculous creative act of God, as the Bible plainly teaches. Now, if atheism is true, then human beings evolve from non-human beings. If the atheist claims that human beings evolve from non-human beings, then he is faced with the impossible task of answering this question: which was first on earth, a woman are a baby. But our time is gone for today. I hope you'll be with us tomorrow as we continue our study and bring up this question, which was first on earth, a woman or a baby, and its significance for this point.